them pop. Big gun Brian Petrie giving out the lot. One is mortal, you know it won't miss. Gonna take a shot. Dog lock, that's the underdog. Yeah, they in the hunt. Send them home, that's KO or submission. Yeah, somebody done. Slime ball, yeah, that's the parlay. We gon' make it known. Pick and pod from MMA takes. Yeah, let's get it gone.
Woo! I just blew everyone's ears out. What's up with the what's up? Chat's already on fire. Christian, the man with the most tech difficulties in the world, he's here. I haven't seen him since what, fucking November, I think?
I think that's the last time we did one, yeah.
Novembies is when I was last time I seen this guy. It's been a while. Comments are already coming in from Trend Daddy here with the fucking CC with the dope hat again. What's up, Trend? He does got a good, what does that say?
It's a psilocybin research team.
Okay, where we find that at? Not a trash can.
No, Molly bought this one for me.
It's a dope hat. I wish I could look good in hats like you. Can I see the hair real quick? Because the last time I saw your hair, it was a shamble. So what do we got? Okay. All right. So it's nothing in the back, right?
I've got just the kabir, just the two all the way across.
Okay. Nice. Yeah. Last time we saw you, it was a disaster. So I'm glad we got to clear that up. And I saw in the chat, where's Timbo? Timbo's traveling for work. Now, if you don't know what Timbo does for a living, he murders people, okay? He works for a government, a super secret agency, travels for work, couldn't make it tonight, you know, so you got the two of us. You know, I don't want to get in Timbo's way of fucking murdering people, but it is what it is. We got a nice little card here. I was so bad last week with my picks. Let me see. I got it written down with my picks. So my picks were 3-7 last week. Hit 1 of 3 of my slime ball. So 2 of 3 of my slime ball missed, which is embarrassing. 1 and 3 out of my locks. I gave a double mortal lock. Obviously Nakamura rolled, but Dongun Jun, who I gave out in the Anakin Florian, absolutely embarrassed me. So, we're down a couple shekels, but I was up coming from Bellator. Put that all on a live bet on Choi, one of the 125ers, lost, and then won a lot on Tabora, then put another live bet on Dongun Jun, doubled down, and it was just a bad night. I didn't do a recap show, so I want to recap to the people. I got beat up last week, bad. So this week, the card is it's top heavy. I think there's a lot of interesting fights. Obviously, I'm excited to see Jackie Three Names. I'm excited to see the co-main event, the main event. But you know, there's a lot of thin talent on the bottom half here. It's a little thin, right? But you know, it is what it is. Before we get to Christian here, like the video, Herc MMA is here. 96RS, he's always in here. Aaron S is always in here. Been waiting for the live of the boys. Y'all great energy together, man. Love hearing us take some breakdowns. Amazing. Anthony Horn got wrecked last week. Slimeball. Yeah, Slimeball got absolute body last week. But Anthony. It's slime forever. CC the duh, how about it go? Because we got the trend. Where Timbo? Murdering people. Banger of a hat. Another hat comment. CC, you just got to go in the hat business. Gaina White there with the eyeballs. Hey, guys, I changed my name. Gaina White.
Got to be Kieran.
Has
gotta
to be. Kieran. Where's... Whose house did that homeless dude break into for internet? That's a shot at you, Christian, because I do not look homeless, I don't think. No, could it be me? Good. Dang, clean up big time after that painful yawn self-bet respect. Yeah, what's up, my guy? So maybe it's not Kieran. So Gaina White, maybe that's the guy who was using the N-words a few streams ago. Remember that piece of shit? I don't know. Gaina White is Gaina White is okay. And then, I end up way worse than that, but we're going to get it back this week. Lost a few bets by Choi penalty. Yeah, the Choi penalty was complete, utter bullshit. But we got fights tonight. Saturday night, but we're going to talk about it tonight. Christian, I'm wired. Just had some spaghetti. Got my podcast juice. How you feeling, my guy? How you feeling? Let's talk to Christian. Let's crack you open like a walnut. How you feeling?
I'm good. I've got my podcast juice. It's not beer tonight. It's an Ohio red birch beer. Very delicious. Okay.
You just said it's not beer, but it is beer.
But it's like root beer type beer.
Oh, it's not non-alcoholic?
It's your type of beer.
Oh, you're going soda. Okay. What's that about? Usually you're ripping through White Claws, maybe some IPAs. What's going on?
Yeah. Just trying to cut down on that weeknight drinking.
The weekend drinking.
Had a few on Monday night.
So, that will get you. The weeknight.
Not the weekend drinking.
Yeah. No, the weekend drinking. Weekend that's drinking
still full steam.
The weekend drinking. That's what the weekend's for. It's for the drinking. The weeknight drinking is what get people in trouble. I have a good friend of mine who's unfortunately dealing with some troubles himself. We'll get to that another time. But let's get into the fights. We got how many? We got 13 of them, 14 of them. Doesn't matter. First fight of the night, Zubara Tugagov. Fucking nailed it. Minus 520. I think he is steamed up to minus 600. He is fighting Elvis Brenner, plus 410. If Zubes has gone up, then Elvis has gone up. I'll lead the dance here. Chimbo's the champion, right? Is that where we left? He's got the strap?
It's not me. I know that.
Okay, it's not me, I don't think. So yeah, we'll go. I'll just lead the dance here because I got a bigger head. Listen, I always pick against Zubes. I always do. He's one of the Khabib guys I just never trust. I've seen him gas in Abu Dhabi bad. I've seen him in close fights. He's not the grappler that a lot of the Khabib camp comes from. He is a good striker. Does have some grappling chops, you know. But I know I always doubted him. And you look at this number, it's absolutely massive, right? Like, I think DraftKings has him at minus 600, which is too much for me to play. I'm good at pick him because Elvis Brenner, he comes from I don't know if they're still called Shoot the Box, but he comes from the Charles Oliveira camp. Charles Oliveira is going to be in his corner. He's out there in Australia, and he's good on the ground. He doesn't, you know, wow me on the ground. He's got a lot of submissions over cab drivers and whatever in Brazil. He's got a couple good wins, but I don't think he's got enough. I don't think he can get it there. And if he gets it there, I don't know if he's like powerful enough or special enough to really catch Zubes off. I think Zubes is going to probably walk through him on the feet here, avoid the takedowns, and maybe get a takedown himself here. But yeah, I always doubt Zubes. And when they hang a minus 600 on him, I'm like, yeesh. So this could be a pass for me. But I, again, as part of the game, I'm going to pick Zubera. Christian, you going to go with big dog here, dog shot here, babe?
Nah, man, this is a sub guy fresh out of Brazil. I think he's got like 11 or 12 wins by a sub. I don't watch tape, so I just wiki cap this guy, but I know enough about Tugagov that I don't need to really look into this guy. Mm-hmm. I mean, the 600 line says it all. Zubair, he's pretty good everywhere. He is really powerful. He throws that huge overhand. He kind of lacks that killer instinct. Mm-hmm. You know, his fights always seem to go the distance, even though he whoops a lot of ass there. He dodged Nate Landwehr, which of course
no one wants to fuck with Nate the Train.
Smoke them.
To fuck Nate the Train, man.
So yeah, I don't know if this guy can't like fight. I know there's a few of them that can't fight in the States, and he might be one of them.
Yeah,
on watch list or whatever. So
he's from Chechnya. I know a lot So maybe he's not. He's not Dagestani. He's Chechnyan. I don't know if that makes
any
difference.
He's got one sub loss back in 2010. He's facing a sub guy that's fresh off the boat. It's an easy one. It could be a fun fight, though. I mean, I wrote down a bet. This is what a same game parlay is. I'll take Tugagov in under 10 and a half minutes.
There you go. That's what it is.
That's a pretty good bet.
I kept saying same game parlay, two podcasts ago, maybe last podcast, and there's a guy in the chat in the comments go, Brian, that's not how it works. And my guy Christian hammered me on the text, like, if I hear you say same game parlay one more fucking time, I was mistaken. So Christian has it right. That's a same game parlay. There's actually quite a few really good same game parlays. I saw some people play on Twitter with Islam. It's like Islam to win, Islam to get over a certain amount of takedowns, Islam to do certain things. I mean, those are obviously, they're chalky, but they're actually a nice little price here. So yeah, we're on the same side. Nothing here. We're going to get the 4-year layoffs. Haven't won in 6 years. I'm sure you're talking about, where's the champ Timbo again? Timbo's not here. He's murdering people. Wish him the best. Hope the hit goes well. Wish I had a bet that just said fight is much closer than most think. I slammed that line. That's good. Like on DraftKings, there should be a thing that says, hey, I don't think this guy should be minus 600. He's not going to look that good. And if he doesn't look that good, then you get your money. I think that's a really good bet. DraftKings, come on. Whoo, minus 670 on FanDuel. We don't use FanDuel around here, okay? FanDuel can go, yeah, kick rocks. Did you see the UFC best person didn't understand the... Yeah, Minty Betts. Poor Minty Betts. She... have you seen this, Christian?
I only listened to one podcast this week, and they had brought it up, and they just said, like,
It's like, yeah, it's not a good look. So she's good on camera. She's very pretty. I think she knows.
I figured she was pretty.
Yeah. I think she knows that, you know, I think she knows gambling or whatever. I don't know how good of a sharp she is. But they throw her on the UFC broadcast, and then she doubled down on Twitter trying to explain what under 2.5 meant. And it just was completely wrong, which I know we all make mistakes. Listen, I made a mistake about the same game parlay, so I'm not going to throw stones. But yeah, but if you're on camera on ESPN and you're getting paid money, you got to know the difference between what an over 2.5 is not. All right, so we're going to keep moving here.
Yeah, I'll pull it up and watch her.
Fight, I think, is pretty good. Blake Builder, plus 115 versus Shane Young, minus 135. Scrappy fight here. Who you going with, Christian? You're going to lead here.
Yeah, it's not a bad fight. You know, obviously, Young doesn't fight very often. He's been in the UFC for like a decade, so mm-hmm. have 10 fights. I heard up, which I can't even remember what podcast I listened to, but it said something about like some personal issues. I don't, you know, whether it's substance mm-hmm. abuse or depression and whatever it is, that sort of stuff. So something's obviously going on. But as is always the case when guys take long layoffs, they're always in the best shape ever when they come back. That's what everybody says. So look, he's. All of his losses are about as respectable as it gets. Young. I hate how much time he takes off, but he is skilled. He's well-rounded. Mm-hmm. I kind of like what I've seen out of him, the rare times I do see it. Builder, I remember his contender series fight. He was a pretty big dog. I think like a 2-1 dog coming into it. Everybody thought he was going to lose. Didn't. He's a CFFC champ, which is kind of respectable. All right, I guess. Dude loves to lay on his back though. That's like, if you ever watch anything on him, he's always laying. He's like, he probably would start the fight on his back if he could. I hate that he's 32 years old in his UFC debut. I absolutely hate that. He's off this last year of the Contender Series, which is these guys are a lot of them are terrible. So
here we go.
I'm going to go that Builder's terrible. We got a UFC vet, mm-hmm. a 10-year UFC vet.
Sure.
And we got almost a pick-up line. So yeah. Give me Young in this one.
Give me Shane Old Young. Listen, I like Shane Young. He's the definition of a scrappy guy. Good, but not great everywhere. You know, his chin, it usually gets showcased. His defense is lacking. Stand up, nothing crazy. Carter usually pretty good. He's going to be amped up. He's in his hometown. Backyard here. Builder coming in, 32 years old. Don't love that. But this dude's good. He's got some chops to him, right? I think he's better than what you expect. I looked at every single one of his fights. And the kid is scrappy. The kid is very good. This is going to be an absolute drag them out kind of dogfight. I do not think either are going to be better anywhere. I think it's going to hit the mat. They're going to exchange positions. They just get to the feet. Someone's got to take over the feet. Don't know who it is. Maybe Shane Young. But the minute it hits the ground, it's going to be very interesting during these scrambles. And when you give me a fight like that, I think this fight is over 2.5. That's a bet right there. Hammer that line. Over 2.5 for sure. And when you give me that and you're giving me, I know it's going to a decision and the type of judges we have with Builder's grappling style. He does have some good chokes. I'm going to take the dog here. I'm going to take the dog shot on Builder. Not a ton of dogs I love on this card. So maybe I'm reaching on this. I just have never been blown away by Shane Young. I think he's very average at best. And Builder, though, 32 rookie coming in isn't the best look. But, you know, my boy Chris Curtis was coming in at 33 years old as a rookie. So he obviously put in more time to Builder, but maybe that's a bad example. But so we're different on that. Hey, lined up. Maybe we'll make a little bet.
Here we go.
Skynet, I bet same game fights, same game parlay fights. I don't get what you're saying about not being a thing. It is a thing. Sky, I was wrong when I described it 2 podcasts ago. I was saying I want to bet Gilbert Burns and I want to bet him by a finish. Or I said something along those lines. That's not a same game parlay. You can't do that. I was wrong. Same game parlays are definitely a thing. Just whatever I said 2 weeks ago was not, I was very wrong.
It was just me busting your balls.
Yeah. But people in the chat, were you drinking tequila before the Anakin Florian pod? I was not. I do not drink Brian Thomas. Great name. Love how you spell Brian, the real way to spell it. I love Christian's breakdowns. Aaron S. Loving it. Loving some Christian. I miss this intro, brothers. Give me the grah real quick. Oh, yeah. Grah. Yeah, that's my guy right there with the intro. Could be a split decision plot play here. I don't hate that either. I think it's going to a decision without a doubt. Give me we're split. So give me the dog there, and we're going to give Christian
Chamberlain.
What's
the line on that?
At decision? Yeah, go ahead and look because I got too many windows pulled up here.
Bro. Oh, wow. It's over 2.5. It's like minus 120, minus 130.
That's not bad. That's a good price. All right, next up, females here, minus 265. Lumalukabumi Just a fun name to say, dude. Looma Looka Boomy. I try to say it as quick as I can. Versus Elise Reed or Elsie Reed. I think it's Elise Reed. Plus 225. Elise, yep. What is it? It's Elise? Yeah. So I've been burned by Elise Reed. I think she's got this unique karate style that has burned me in the past, where I think like, oh, she's comparable on the feet. And then she just lets me down, right? Every fight, she seems like she lets me down. She's going to be in close fights maybe, but then she's could get starch out there. Looma Looka Boomy is a woman who I've constantly said has been undersized. But when she gets in there and she gets in that clinch, she is strong. Good camp. They convinced her to move to Vegas because they're like, we see something in her, right? Thai fighter that is now working on her ground game. Her takedown offense is pretty good. I think Elise Reed's going to want to keep it on the feet. I think Looka Boomy is going to, you know, even though she's a little undersized, I think her kicks are going to play dividends here. I think the clinch is going to be a problem. I think Elise Reed can't stop a cold, let alone a takedown, let alone a clinch takedown, if Looma Looka Boomy wants to do that. The price is a little high for women's MMA with me because, you know, I don't have a great track record in that area, but I'm going to go Looma Looka Boomy. This is going to be slimeball candidate number one. When I really look at the tape against both these females, it's good to go decision. Elise Reed could get clipped and could get put out. Let me ground and pound maybe in the second or third round. That could happen. Maybe not a play I want to play. Plus, that decision prop's going to be very juiced. But I like Looma Looka Boomy here. And I'm going to say her name one more time before I kick it to Christian. Looma Looka Boomy. There we go.
And I'll start by saying that Looma Looka Boomy is a pretty damn good fighter. I think she's super fun to watch. Look, in this matchup, she's going to be smaller, but she's going to be faster. She's got great elbows, great kicks. Like you said, she's amazing in the clinch. Really good at trips, too. And Elise Reed has suspect takedown defense as it is. Elise Reed, when I watch her, the style is, you know, she's scraped out a few wins, but man, it's not exciting. I think when you're against somebody like Looka Boomy, if this does go to decision, which it probably will, the optics aren't going to be good. I mean, Looka Boomy's throwing out twice as many punches per minute, kicks per minute, whatever, strikes per minute as Reed's going to be doing. Reed's kind of a punching bag. She gets hit twice as much as she throws. That's a hammer spot, if you could hear that.
Woo! Hammer!
Looma Looka Boomy rolls here. I know.
Over
you know
one and a half is minus 107. That's not bad. Over one and a half is minus. So you're hammering Looma. Skynet says over one and a half. What do you think?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We're in agreement. Yep. Looma Looka Boomy. Yeah, I think she...
You know, I can see her finishing late, but
yeah, because Elise Reed has quit before. I can see that too. Like, get frustrated. Looma has looked pretty good on top in some of these fights. Her elbows are nasty, obviously, and she seems to have a strong base considering that she is smaller. Yeah, I think that's a hammer spot right there. I'm glad you get it. I got a green hammer back here somewhere. I was gonna hammer it, but nice. All right, next up, Jack Jenkins. Remember I used to wear it? Jack Jenkins -345 versus Don Shannis +285. Liking this fight. Think this is going to be a fun one. Wide line, though. Jack Jenkins coming off the contender series. I know you hate contender series, guys. So what do you think here, there, bruh?
Yeah, I wouldn't say that Don Shannis and his like 38 seconds of UFC fight time makes him a veteran.
You know, you're right. You're right.
So yeah, no shame. Oh, 30 seconds. No shame in losing to Sadiq Youssef. I just write that off and look at this more. Almost like we have two debutantes here. This is a showcase spot, though. I think a lot of people in the know it. Jenkins, you know, gets compared a lot to Jack Della Maddalena. I don't know how accurate that is, but they can both, you know, they can both hit. Jenkins seems to be more of a late finisher, a lot more attrite of damage versus once Jack Della kind of starts digging in, starts digging those uppercuts into you. He seems to take it pretty quick there, but. Everything I've seen from Shannis, he's got kind of a gasser style. He's just always just going ham. And I don't think that's a really good style against a guy who's proven to be pretty durable and likes to finish late. So that's something I have an eye on here. Probably a Jenkins later finish. It's the matchup is set up for Jenkins to win.
Sure.
You know, it's the end of the early prelims. I don't know what channel they're doing those on, but I'm sure they'll be featured them, you know, they want you to watch the next fight, and this is a good way to do it because it should be exciting. Unless, I mean, Shannis is somehow able to win the wrestling, which is possible. But
yeah, I mean, Shannis. Yeah, Shannis is a scrapper, right? He's a fun fighter. he got signed not because he's a prospect. He got signed because he has fun fights. He can go out there. And he gave Sadiq, I mean, he went right after Sadiq. I caught in a guillotine. It is what it is. But on the regional scene, he has some fun fights. Jack Jenkins is a guy. You're right. These Australian guys are coming out now. And like Jack Della Malena, and you got a bunch of them. I mean, you know, New Zealand had a wave. Now these Australian guys are really coming out. Jack Jenkins is a guy to keep an eye on. He's very well-rounded. Got a gorgeous mullet, which you should respect, right? Very shortly built, yeah, right? You know, good grappler, good striker, powerful. The early problems in his career were by submissions. His two losses, 2017, 2018, were both by submissions. You know, he's obviously fixed that. You know, he was a very aggressive, wild man type fighter. Seems to reel it in a little bit, has some good coaching, and they're putting his skills to use. Look pretty good in the contender series. I don't like the number. You know, Stephen Baldwin shouted out Jack. Inside the distance makes us playable. I can see that Don Shaynes has been finished several times in his career. But how does he get it finished? Does he TKO him? Does he get him on the ground? Does he, well, we got down. Anus definitely not getting it done here. Betting that everyone have. Kyle Kelly nailing an Anus joke right there. I fucking love it. Yeah, I'm going to go Jenkins. I don't love the number. It was a fight I really looked at. Maybe slime ball worthy, maybe parlay worthy, but just still a little bit unknown with Jenkins right now, but I think he is very good. I think he could be very good. I follow him on Instagram. He seems to be in incredible shape. He's, you know, same with Builder. Builder is very confident going into this fight. He's doing a bunch of pre-fight interviews, showing off watches and shit, right, in the Shane Young fight. And Jack Jenkins not showing off watches, but very confident in his debut. And it seems like he wants to go out there and just make a fucking splash, wants to go out there and showcase his skills in front of his home country. So within the distance, under 1.5, I love it. I love all those plays. But yeah, give me Jack Jenkins. Nothing crazy here. Not going to go, not going to broke the mold and fucking run for a +285 underdog on Don Shaynes. All right, next up, Jamie Malarkey. Like my boy John Anik says, from Boston. He's actually from Australia, -255 versus Francisco Prado, 20 years old, from Argentina, +215. This was one of the last fights I wrote down because you know me, I get the googly eyes for the young guys, right? Now, Prado is not coming from the contender series. He's 20 years old, though. Undefeated fighter, right? Yeah, undefeated fighter. I watched, I think, 8 of 11 of his fights, and he's got seemingly the goods. Obviously, there's, you know, his last two fights, he fought some real competition. Early in his career, he did not fight competition. You got Jamie Malarkey, fucking cement head. The guy doesn't take a step back, right? He's been knocked out. Sometimes he looks inhuman in there. Cardio never a problem. His last fight with Michael Johnson, I thought he lost. He squeaked it out. He can wrestle. He's training Volkanovski and those guys, so he knows in shape because he's been with Volk for the entire camp for the Islam fight, you know. So he's coming in shape here. So that was led me to Jamie Malarkey. I fucking hate this line. This is a rat line. I do not like Jamie Malarkey at -255. My play is Jamie Malarkey. Excuse me. My pick is Jamie Malarkey. My play is under 1.5. Prado by early TKO, something like that. He can catch him early. I need to see Prado's cardio because that's the biggest question. He's fought two real good guys, and Malarkey's a tough out. But I do like under 1.5 here. I don't think this fight's going to decision because if Malarkey wins, is Prado gassing out and Malarkey taking over because that guy just doesn't quit. You're Jamie Malarkey whisperer, Christian. You're kind of the guy who has burned me on Malarkey a few times in these picks, if I recall correctly. So what we got here, bud? What we got here, bud?
Oh, cement head. I am a huge Jamie Malarkey fan. I think the only one I've gotten wrong since we've been doing this was the Michael Johnson one, which I thought he won. But
You were on Michael Johnson?
Yeah.
But you thought Malarkey won? Yeah, you're wrong. You're wrong.
Wrong. No, wait, no, sorry. I thought Michael Johnson won.
Okay.
And I was on Michael Johnson.
You were on Michael Johnson, but Jamie, gotcha, well, gotcha.
Archie's one of the guys, I just seem to be able to get him right.
You really do. You really do.
I don't think there's this, you know, we got a 20-year-old. This just has those, what's that guy's, name? Bruno Ferreira.
Yeah.
It has those sorts of vibes.
Sure.
I'm like, this is a lock. Put this guy in put Malarkey in every single one of your parlays and just take a poke on Prado round one.
Sure.
You know, he's never been the distance, and Malarkey picks up steam a lot of times as he goes. So I think he's a parlay piece. You don't like the number. I'm fine with it.
You're okay with it.
I'm pretty confident, but I probably would just, you know, a 20-year-old's going to come in on his debut. That crowd is going to be loud. I'll probably take that little poke on round one because I will have Malarkey in some parlays.
Anthony Horn, Malarkey getting knocked out. Yeah. I'm playing Prado round one. Think Jamie gets it done, though. I mean, that's the way to play this. Round one, Prado. Afterwards, run for the hills. Because if Prado's going to win a round, it's round one, right? And if even if he doesn't finish Cementhead, that live line is going to jump. And that's when Jamie Malarkey takes over in those second and third rounds because he just doesn't go away. Love that play. Prado Rama knockout, similar to Hulk Forever's RoboCop, already mentioned. Yeah, my picks have been full of Malarkey every time. Nice, Aaron S. Love the Connor Ratline. The green line is a bit much. Trust Malarkey here. Safe bet is the under. I like the under as well. Camp team to pick him, but he's Australian and Volk. I was going to cut the line. Yep, here we go. Malarkey keeping his Easter Island roots. Love that. What do I got to do to get the hat?
That's a good one.
Original David Jackson needs that hat, Christian. You got to tell him. You got to hook him up with Molly.
Yeah, my wife bought it for me. But if you ask me on Twitter or whatever, I could send it to
at
you.
At that play, Beezy on Twitter. All right, next up. Another fight that kind of put me through a pretzel here. Clutton Rodriguez, -320. God damn, that just seems so blah. Versus Shannon Ross, +265. Christian, 125ers here. What do we got? What do we got? What the fuck do we got?
Dang, I didn't realize they were 125ers. Look at the weight on this one.
125.
Shannon Ross is that guy that's... I didn't even take notes on this because I thought I remembered Ross perfectly. He's that punching bag that had appendicitis or whatever in the fight. He's like that Australian mechanic. He's like old.
Yeah.
He's like 33 and his wife and family are pulling for him.
Yeah. He got a contract. He got it. Like yeah. He got a contract for pity. 100%. Okay. Dana White's like, God, this guy's, I got to give him something here.
I saw like, Martian on Twitter. He posted something. It's like, three out of five losses, five knockdowns in last two fights.
Yeah.
Welcome to the UFC.
Yeah, right. It was a pity play. He's a fun fighter for sure. People love him. 33 years old. This was like his last shot. He got an absolute buzzsaw in the contender series and Vincent Salvatore, though, who I think is going to make waves at 125 in the UFC. And but people were just rallying behind this guy, like, yeah, let's get him in. Like, dude, he's going to get hurt. But I think you got a kind of good matchup here. But go ahead. Who do you like?
Yeah, I'm gonna go with Clitson Rodriguez here. I know he lost his last fight. Was I think a big favorite too. But that's what you get for betting a big favorite coming off the contender series.
Mm-hmm.
You dorks.
Dorks.
So
butter knife bettors out there. Come on, man.
Yeah, so give me the guy that's been in there before, who's not the 33-year-old punching bag that his appendix broke in his last fight.
Yeah.
It could be fun just because that guy, you know, Sam Alvey was in fun fights and he lasted like seven straight losses. So, you know, those guys have a place. I'll be looking forward to it. But
yeah,
I guess I'll down low be rooting for that Ross guy, but I just think he's going to get knocked down.
Yeah. He's a likable guy. He got the contract.
He should probably be like a 500.
Yeah. Sorry. I lost connection. That's why I talked to everyone. My apologies. Listen, he is a likable guy, Shannon Ross. He's in Australia. He's going to be hyped. He shouldn't be in the UFC. He knows that. So he's going to go out there and he goes, you know what? I'm 33. My chin is gone. Even though he fought a beast his last time out, I'm going to go out here. I'm going to have some fun. Right. Clutton Rodriguez lost his debut against Cesar Vergara in a very underwhelming fight. I've heard a lot about Clayson before that. I thought maybe this kid was going to be something special, something good. He's 27. He's not the youngest talent in the world, but he fell flat to me. You're right. This is going to be kind of maybe a coming out for him. And I just can't back Ross here. I mean, I just really can't. The number's nice at +265. It'd be a really nice underdog Rudy story for him to go out there in front of Perth and get a knockout and be like, yeah, I belong, and that. Just don't know if it's going to happen. I just don't know. I'm rooting for it. I'm not going to put money on it against him. I'm rooting for the guy. I mean, who roots against Rudy? I'm not a psychopath, but I just really don't think he's that good. Like, I think, he's been in there with some good guys. His boxing's okay. His defense is for shit. His chin didn't show up his last time out. His wrestling's okay. He's scrappy. He's got decent cardio, but... unless Cleetson comes out there and lays an egg again, I really don't see Ross getting this done. I mean, he could get gifted a decision. We got Kieran in here going overs and unders. He's playing both sides of the fence, I guess. He's saying flyweight overs, flyweight unders, playing both sides of the fence. Austin shit the boy. So yeah, my pick is going to be Clayson as well. I mean, I can't go against that. I was on CJ. Clayson gets it done here though. I took over on Shannon for the money. Lots of movement on the under 2.5. Feldman via association, Sesson choke round two. Not who sure Feldman is. Maybe.
Is there a such thing as an Sesson choke?
If there is, Jane Smith is smarter than me. Just tuning in from my underground. Let's go, Sean Clark. Sean Clark.
He's literally down in a mine right now.
That's literally what he said. He said, just tuning in from a mile underground. Yeah. Let's go. What kind of service do you have, sir? Because, golly, rooting for Ross. I think everyone is. The under 2.5 is 1.10. That's a steal, I think. Ross not making the difference. Distance. Ross not making the... Jane, I'm having a hard time understanding what you're meaning here, Jane. But you know what? Thanks for watching. Let's move on. We got Josh Akulabau, -125 versus Melsik Bogdasarian, +100. Last time I checked on DraftKings, right before I got on, both these were -110. Listen, I love pick'em fights because I like pick'em fights. I like being on the right side of pick'em fights, right? Josh Akulabau made his debut against an absolute fucking wrecking force, lost against Jalen Turner. Since then, all he's done is look great, right? Thin out, long arms, good striking, tough, cardio on point. Melsik, cardio not on point, but his striking is very dangerous. I think this is going to be a tale of two fights. I think it's going to be Melsik in the beginning with some nice kicks, nice punches, but Akulabau ain't going nowhere, right? Akulabau's going to be in his face, use his long reads, stick his jab in there, use his arms. I like Akulabau by decision. This almost was my mortal lock, was Joshua Akulabau by decision, because I love that play so much. I think Akulabau by decision here. I think he's just going to get it done, start slow and strong, get the dub in Australia. I love that this is a pick one because Melsik is very dangerous, but I just don't think Akulabau's going anywhere. I just really don't. I think he's going to walk through all that shit and take this dub here. So, Christian, what do you got here? Go on and take Melsik so we can get things some interesting. We can shake some things up here, babe. Go ahead, bub.
Back to starting, you know, he kind of looks dangerous when he's out there. I don't know how else to explain it. Just really good, dangerous-looking striking. But Akulabau seems to have been able to handle most everything. Losing to Jalen Turner looks that loss ages better and better by the day. I remember, what was it? Akulabau and, what's his name? Jourdain. It was like, bet the house on Jourdain. Mm-hmm. He's going to smoke this guy. And yep. It was an eye-opening experience for watching Akulabau because he doesn't look like he's in great shape. Kind of like that small hill type body.
He's got a weird body. He does. Yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He really builds on it as it goes.
Yeah.
I'm impressed with Akulabau. I guess the pick'em is a perfect line on this because I have no idea. It was the last fight I picked. I think it's lined properly, but I'm usually going to, as I like to say, ABC, always bet cardio.
Yep.
So I'm going to ride with Akulabau because I think he's...
Did you just come up with ABC? I've never heard that before. ABC, always bet cardio. Is that new?
Yeah, that's what I like to say.
Man, they should use that in the movies for like sales or something. Yeah. This guy's smart. With a name like that, you better be dangerous. I think this fight has night. It truly does. I think this is going to be a scrap. +200 for decision. Add it to my card. Add it to my fucking card right now. I love it by decision. I love it by decision for Akulabau.
Wait, this fight is +200 to go to decision, or
I think for Akulabau, possibly for... cool. Because I did say my mortal lock was Akulabau by decision. So double check Aaron Esther. He's usually right. The guy's a shot. DraftKings Sport. I mean, obviously, lines can move a little.
Okay. That sounds right. Yeah. Okay. That sounds right.
Yeah. Next up, Tyson Pedro, -240 versus Mudeskis Bukauskas, +200. Christian, big boys here. Bukauskas, last time we saw him in the UFC, got his knee blown out. 1-2 fights outside the UFC, getting brought back on short notice here against Tyson Pedro. Tyson Pedro. You know, the guy is like kind of like they're really grooming him to be the next thing. Good looking guy, big kid, funny, exciting. What do we think about this fight here, Bob?
These guys' last four wins are literally, they have to be the lowest rated wins in all of the UFC. Like, they're unbelievably bad.
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard to get a read on how good any of them are. And we don't, what's Tyson Pedro's fight before that? Was that the one he got knocked out by,
Hang on.
Shogun? Yeah.
Oh, I thought his last fight was Harry Hunsucker. He took care of business. So, but no, his last three
fights are your guy Harry,
Ike and then Shogun.
And Shogun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
That is So yeah. It's kind of, I know he opened up at like minus 700 or minus 800, which was a smash spot. If, mm-hmm. if I ever paid attention to openers, definitely would have got it. But as the line came back down, it made it a little bit tougher for me to pick. But Kalskis has that look. I think I probably lost every a bet on every single fight, other than that one that guy fell out of the cage a couple mm-hmm. years ago. I think
Andrew Michalaitis.
I bet him every time, and I've lost every time.
Yeah.
So but I can't. We have a couple of those fighters. I can't get off of it. I'm mm-hmm. hooked on it.
Yeah. You like, have to.
Tyrone Biggums.
Yeah. Yeah. You're hooked on him. Yeah. I have plenty of those fighters.
So at plus 200. Give me Bukauskas again.
Wow.
I'm going to ride it till the wheels fall off. One of the wheels fell off last time. So if the other one falls off this time, then I think we'll just have to call it good.
So I broke this down to Anakin Florian, which is out now on DraftKings Standard. Go check that out. And I was very hesitant to pick Tyson. I even said I wasn't going to bet it. We did that a couple days ago. And now that I've been thinking about it, the more I've been going through, Tyson's a real talent. He really is. His ground game is very good. His striking used to be his weak point. Now it's coming together. The biggest issue, like we said, is ABC always bet on cardio. His cardio has been bad. And he has gotten absolute layup since he's been back. He was out for like 2, 3, almost 4, however many years for really nasty injury. Gets Ike Villanueva, chops him down with leg kicks, knocks him out against the cage. Beautiful performance. Then he gets Harry Hunsucker. Love you, Harry. You ain't getting it done, bud. So this is a real kind of step up, and it's really embarrassing to say that considering Bukauskas is 1-4 in the UFC. His only win was a guy fell out of the cage and they stopped the fight, right? Other than that, it's like he's been knocked out, he's been blowing his knee out. Looked okay on the regional scene, one by decision, one by knockout. But Tyson is a freak. So you say ABC, I say ABT. Always bet on talent. And I think Tyson Pedro is incredibly talented. I truly do. He's size, he's massive. As long as his cardio checks out, I think he can get this done. And I think he can get this done beautifully. So I've kind of flipped on my initial read, which might not be good, but I think he goes out there and proves his case here. I think it's not going to be a round one mollywop like the past two, which I hope it doesn't, because I want to see more of Tyson. I want to see this cardio. But I see him clipping him on the feet, taking his legs out if he needs to. And then him on top on the ground is great. He's got a good Kimura. He's got good chokes. And this is going to be slime ball candidate. Just a candidate number two. So I'm going to go Tyson Pedro. We're opposite there. Let's see what the chat has here. For him is finished. Two decision. Kulabao is nuts. It's a gorgeous number. Tyson Pedro is the GOAT. Fighting nothing but absolute cans back to fighting the corpse of Shogun. Kyle Kelly couldn't be more right. Tyson Pedro's manager needs to manage me. Get me some deals. Price, yeah, another shout out to Tyson Pedro's manager. Something telling me Pedro round 2 KO plus 750. Yeah.
People forget that he was a grappler. This,
yeah.
When you fight the worst two fighters in the yes, heavyweight division,
you're right.
Possibly in UFC history, you can be a striker.
You're right. But
grappling chops are.
Christian, you got to believe me. I agree with you. But in those Ike and Harry fights, his feints, his setups were great. It's much improved. And Bukauskas isn't much on the feet, in my opinion. So I agree with you. You can look good against Harry Hounsucker. I did, okay? But there's levels to this, right? And this is going to be an interesting one. And I like the number. He opened big, which I went, what the fuck? Is that a prank? But I like the number now. You know, one of Modestas, but 200 doesn't work for me. Way too low, 100%. Jane Smith, yeah, Tyson's potential to move up. Took him on the money line. Smart, Jane. His opponents haven't been great, but doing what good fighters do, correct. If he struggled with those guys, we're out of here. We're out of here, right? I'll fade Tyson when the time is right. This isn't the fight. Pedro won't need the cardio with inside two. Aaron S., a sharp guy. His striking tools look amazing currently. And then his open mind. Yeah, he opened huge, which I saw that on Twitter. And I'm like, there's no way, right? Is that real? I guess it was real. But yeah, so we're split on that. You got Tyson. I got Tyson, excuse me. You got Bukauskas. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Main card time. Jimmy the Brute Crute, who used to be in my graveyard. This guy used to be on my shit list. He is a minus 180 against Alonzo Menifield, plus 155. Violent fight is what all I can say. I love this fight. And, you know, Jimmy Crute coming off two ugly losses. Got knocked out by Jamal Hill. Okay, that's the champ, right? Okay, that's the champ. No knocking that. gets finished by Anthony Smith with leg kicks, which is kind of a weird thing. But before that, you got just a guy who didn't really know what he wanted to do in there. Is he a striker? Is he a grappler? I know this is MMA, but he's a young guy that hasn't quite figured out how to mix it together yet, right? He's very good on top. When he gets on top with cardio, he is dangerous. His step over Kimura is great. Alonzo Menifield spent the better part since leaving the Contender Series working on his cardio, working on his takedown defense, right? Some of his fights have been boring because he's not willing to let go because he's worried about getting taken down. Coming off some nice performances with those absolute haymaker things, just knocking dudes out. Jimmy Crear, I think, is at a crossroads here. I think he needs his fight. There's a lot of pressure on him for this fight. Young guy, minus 180, not the biggest favorite. Hometown guy coming in on paper. I think he's the better fighter. I think he should take Alonzo Menifield down, possibly win a decision. But Alonzo Menifield's got those bricks. He's got those bricks. And I haven't taken many dogs. And again, I'm on my fading Jimmy Crear shit. So I'm going to take Menifield here by KO. KO only. No money line, no winning decision, KO finish only. Alonzo Menifield at plus 155 is my play. Christian, what do you got? Do you like Jimmy Crute? Do you like Alonzo Menifield? What you doing here, babe?
Yeah, I used to like Jimmy Crute a bit more until I picked him in his last two fights, and then he lost them both.
Sure.
The only time he finally, against Anthony Smith, all he had to do was take him down because that's an instant win against mm-hmm. Anthony Smith, and he only did it once his, like, nerve shut down.
Man, his whole leg was toast.
Around like a deer in a snare trap.
Nice. That's a hunting reference. I've never went hunting, but that's what it is. Nailed it.
Yeah. Well, anything in a snare trap. So yeah, these Jimmy Crute's last six fights have ended in round one, and Alonzo Menifield's on back-to-back round one knockouts.
Sure.
And I think with Menifield, that's big because he kind of switched his style up, like that sloppy ass cage pushing fight with William Knight.
So bad. Well, I hate that fight.
He kind of went against his style, and really since he's gone back to it these last couple of fights, you know, you got to dance with the girl that brought you. And I don't see why Alonzo Menifield wouldn't do that. Now, I think the only thing is, other than power, Jimmy Crute hasn't beat everywhere. I mm-hmm. think he's going to be faster. He's the better wrestler. Dare I say more athletic? I don't know, but,
maybe more MMA athletic, right? Different types of athleticism. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So I just can't rely on just when I see Menifield has one way to really win, and that's round one knockout. I'm sure there's a good number on it. It's, you know, always worth the shot. But I think I'm just going to take fight doesn't start round two on DraftKings. That's plus 110.
Good.
And I could just enjoy it and hope for the violence that we kind of expected out of this one.
So your pick, though, officially is Crute I bounce back because, like I said, I picked this fight earlier this week, and I've bounced back and forth. But I just see Jimmy Crute. You know, there was a fight against Misha Serkinov where he just gassed, right? That was the fight that I lost a lot of money on him. And I'm just like, he could get in there, and he's going to have to use every ounce of his muscle to get Menifield down to hold him down. Menifield's a big boy, thick dude.
You told all your buddies to bet that, too,
everyone,
right?
I told him. You know, everyone knows I'm the MMA guy. I'm walking in going, Jimmy Crute, woo! Like, I was embarrassed. But listen, I do. I agree. I think he's the better fighter if he can get it places. But, you know, Menifield, though, man, he's just so powerful here. We got Anthony Horn. Crute is too small for light heavyweight. Menifield by knockout. James Smith says his legs failed him. His legs failed him in the Anthony fight due to getting lit up before he tried to take down. Don't blink with this one. Could be over quick either way. I agree. I played the inside distance line just in case and probably will play round two. So no exact method. Alonzo by KO. Solid pick. James Smith likes it. Menifield round one KO plus 650. Is that worth taking, big gun? Fuck yeah. Hammer it. Take it now before I take it. And that line moves, Kyle Kelly. Crute wins if you get a takedown. You know, that's what I keep coming back to. If Jimmy Crute can get a takedown, it might be a problem. But, you know, Menifield left, I believe. I could be wrong for this. He used to be a Saif Saiu guy. I think he left and is only training with Pat Barry now. Pat Barry is not known for its ground game, right? So if this gets to the ground, it's a problem. But I think with the Pat Barry relationship, Pat Barry is a good cornerman. He is good, you know, save the Rose. You know, he started dating Rose when she was 12 jokes. But he is a good cornerman, and he is kickboxing background. Gives him confidence, go out there and throw them things. And Jimmy Crute's been knocked out before. He's been hurt before. He can do it again, especially a guy like Menifield. But interesting fight there. I'm throwing pause at that fight. I definitely am going to play Menifee by KO, but I'm not going to choose a side. All right, next up, Justin Taffa, minus 125 versus Parker Porter, plus 105. I'm glad you're leading this off. This is right up your fucking alley. This is right up your wheelhouse. Two mid-level heavyweights who some people might say stank. battling out here. The only reason this is on a main card is because of Justin Taffa. This is like his like fifth opponent. I think his brother was supposed to fight in this card. He got pulled. He got injured or something like that. So what's your view on this heavyweight fight here, bud?
I mean, we could just start off with like narrative. The UFC is wanting Justin Taffa to win this fight. I don't know much about his brother, but it sounds like he's a super prospect. But yeah, they don't, I mean, they're not bringing Parker Porter down here on the main card, right before Volkan.
Parker Porter. I need to make those on. That's what I'm in the business. Sorry to cut you off, Christian. This is just, on Ann Florian. I'm in the process of switching my t-shirt store around and I got to create new t-shirts and all. It's been a whole fucking thing. I'm going to explain it on the next podcast, but I literally think I'm going to make a Parker Porter steakhouse shirt. I mean, the guy's name is Parker Porter. How does he not have a steakhouse? It's crazy to me. But go ahead. Excuse me. I'm sorry. It's very funny to me.
Yeah, some people think Justin Taffa is good. I've never really seen it. I think there's some sort of comparison to Tai Tuivasa. Similar body type, similar personality. Mm-hmm. He does throw some pretty good kicks, which against big boys.
Sure.
You know, you don't have to hit him too many times before that, you know, the rest of the weight on the other leg really hobbles him. I just don't think he's good. I don't know if his head's all there. He can't even make the heavyweight limit. I believe he was the first person ever to miss the heavyweight limit. Somebody else might have done it after, though.
Yeah, was he the first one to do it? I know there's been multiple now.
Yeah, Greg Hardy had to re-weigh in, but I think Taffa was the first to actually. He might have been the first, but that's a terrible look.
Aaron Bronsetter just had this on his one of his trivia. I got it. Fuck. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. So I think I did. Yeah. I did. I'm not sure, but I think he was the first. And yeah, you can't be doing that. Look, Parker Porter's decently well-rounded. You know, he's an okay wrestler, which is. I mean, we've never seen Justin Taffa wrestle, so we have no idea. You have to assume he practices at least somewhat.
Sure.
Parker Porter does it in person. One of these guys has fought Harry Hunsucker. One of them's fought John Jones. I think that's worth noting. That's a big experience difference.
Sure.
I think if Parker Porter can get him down, these are both huge boys. I don't really know how Taffa would get back up. I'm going to bet he can't land those leg kicks. And if he does, it's going to open him to some wrestling. And Parker Porter does like to attempt takedown. So I'm going to go with the dog. This was one I was telling, like, it's kind of leading earlier this week, but this number keeps coming down. It's down to like plus 105 now.
Yeah.
Give me the guy that's been in there with John Jones, not the guy that's been in there with Harry Hunsucker.
There you go. And Chris Barnett was the guy that missed heavyweight. And thank you, Anthony Horn, for shouting that out. It's weird. Chris Barnett's like 5'9". He missed 265. Come on, bro. Yeah, clean that up.
Justin Taffa is not much taller.
No, Justin Taffa is like 6'1".
That's what they say.
Yeah. Justin Taffa, Kyle Kelly in the comments wrote, these guys have bodies in the back of like a bag of milk, which is true. Taffa, though, is explosive. He's one of those like a Tai Tuivasa type guy that you wouldn't think, but is athletic. Problem is he doesn't have a big gas tank. You go back to that Jarrett Vander Ruff fight, and he was lost, right? He fought that basically on just heart and just determination, not quit. He did not look good, and Jarrett Vander Ruff is not good. Parker Porter is a guy with legs the size of my fucking house who can take you down and get on top and smother you and create problems. He's been knocked out before, but his chin has held up decently. He's not the biggest heavyweight. He's 6 foot. He's got a tiny little head for heavyweight, Parker Porter does, but he's just got a huge fucking body, right? So when you give me this number, I'm going to go Parker Porter here for the win. And I think we need to get an online petition to get Parker Porter's nickname. He doesn't have one. It needs to be Steakhouse. Parker Steakhouse Porter, the Steakhouse Parker Porter. That needs to be his nickname. Because I mean, if he wins, he'll stay in the UFC. If he loses, I think he's done. Jailton Almeida, you know, fucking dog walked him last time he was out. I mean, Jailton Almeida is an absolute savage, though, so there's no shame in that. But I think if he gets Taffa down, Taffa's going to come out aggressive, throw kicks. His stand up is very quick and good. But if Porter can get through some of that and make this a clinch fight, get this fight to the ground, tire him out. Porter's a guy that can go a little bit. Porter can go three rounds. And I hope it doesn't go three rounds because it'll be very boring. I don't see a finish. I see Taffa being extremely durable, just tired, and Porter just slowly taking him, picking him apart. But yeah, let's go Parker Porter. I'm on the same side as you here, dog shot. All right, next up, probably my third favorite fight of the card. These final three fights are my favorite fight of the card. I think that's a hot take. I don't think many people are saying that.
This is my second favorite fight.
Right? I love the first off, the main event's insane. Co-main event, I love. And this is my third one. I love Jackie Della Maddalena. Jackie Three Names is what I call him. He's -320 versus Randy Rude Boy Brown, +265. We are getting a big step up in competition for Della Maddalena, which is what I want. This is what I need to see. Della Maddalena might have some of the best boxing in MMA. As a guy who watches a ton of film and studies and does all this, him in the pocket, his calmness, his reads, his vision, him not freaking out in the pocket is incredible. Adrian Nunes is up there with some of the best boxing as well. Very similar to Della Maddalena. Simple roll, simple movement. That's what boxing is. Jackie Three Names is unbelievable. But he's fought some guys, Danny Roberts, who's been knocked out before. Ramazan Ameev is a good win. Knocked him out of the body shot. Very awkward style. But Randy Brown's feeling himself right now. Randy Brown took this fight on short notice. Flew across the world because he's feeling himself. Randy Brown has some good skills. Got some takedown skills. Likes to stand up. He's 6'3". Keeps that long jab in your face. I don't think that's going to matter. Because when you're a smaller guy going against a bigger guy in boxing, the first thing you do, rule number one, is you touch the body. Jack's got to touch the body, and he's fucking good at it. That's going to slow Randy Brown down enough for Jack to get the finish here. I like Jack Della Maddalena. Slimeball candidate number three. I don't like the number, how high it is, because there are still a lot of questions on Jackie Three Names, and Rude Boy Brown is a big step up in competition. But if you look at Uncle Trinaldo fight Randy just fought, he slowed down. Got out grappled and slowed down. Randy doesn't really wrestle much anymore. He's good on top, not good off his back. If he takes Jack down, which is my concern, I think Jack can get back up. I don't think Randy has that smothering quality. Decent chokes, but in the boxing range, Randy's feeling himself. He's got good kicks, good jabs, long punches, but you start getting the body touched and then you start getting that distance closed just enough by Jackie Three Names, it's going to be a problem. I think this kid's special, and hopefully he proves me right. So Jack Della Maddalena is my play there. And you know what? I don't want to toot my own horn now, but I just think I killed that breakdown. So Christian, go ahead, bud. It's all yours, baby.
I was going to say you killed it because I don't know what more else there is to say than that. Other than I disagree on the result, but you knew that because I texted you about 3 or 4 weeks ago.
Sure, sure, sure. I remember.
These two fights were both in that parlay.
Yep.
And Jeon Kim didn't lose, but she didn't win either.
It's true. It's a push. So, it's a push. Yep. Yeah.
Unless it's on Barstool, then they'll just cancel
it. Well, actually, I wanted a clear Barstool Sportsbook. They finally gave it was a day late, but they gave me my money back.
Okay.
They threw an L up on me. I was like, what the fuck? But I got the money back. So,
all right, because I withdrew my money out of there.
Yeah. So. No, I was going to, but they gave it back to me. So we're good.
All right. So yeah, you broke down them both perfectly. I think I'll just focus on, I think the key points of it were, and that is Jack Della Maddalena has showed himself to be susceptible to takedowns.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he does, he loves to be in there close to his opponent, and mm-hmm. that's how he wins fights. It's, you know, so it's kind of, he has to put himself in that danger. I think it's a secret to nobody that Randy Brown's most likely going to be the superior, grappler.
Mm-hmm.
Maddalena has showed it. Be able to get up very well. Mm-hmm. So whether Randy Brown can hold him down if they get there will be a question. I also think he can maintain that distance probably a little better than you can. Look, he's got a great gas tank. He's much more well-rounded. The number's +260.
Yeah, it's a good number.
Look, I think Jack Della Maddalena is a great fighter, but if this was a pick'em, I would probably pick him. But
yeah,
you're going to give me almost three times my money on him, and I'm sure it'll close around three times.
Yeah.
Yeah, give it to me. Give me Root Boy.
Listen, I'm wearing the Value Boy shirt here. That's a value. That's a number play. I completely agree with that. If I didn't have tweets out there and I didn't sit in front of this camera and talk about how much I love Della Maddalena, I would definitely think, wow, Root Boy is a great number because he does have some intangibles that can make this fight interesting. I'm really impressed with Della Molina. I truly am. This is going to be a fun fight. I like it. Both guys' confidence are at an all-time high, and we're going to see what happens here. You know, Rude Boy, his cardio better show up because it has failed in the past. Tatum Temple's in here. Shout out Tatum Temple. Randy Brown's good ground game. How do you think JDM holds up on the ground? I think he's going to want to just get up. You know, I don't think he's going to want to play much. I think he's going to want to get up. There was another comment here. Brown by sub was a crazy number because he does long arms wrapping him up. That's what I have envisioned myself. If Jack rushes to get up too much, Randy Brown has an amazing darts choke with those long ass arms. That's a problem. I love Randy Brown by sub.
Crazy on DraftKings, the submission only line that they put out there. And I saw some people on Twitter had eaten it up.
What was it?
But it was submission only. So any other, like if it wins by knockout, if it goes to decision, it's voided. Randy Brown plus 150 submission only.
Wow.
So Jack knocks him out. Money back.
Like, oh. Yeah. Yeah. That's because I think if it's a decision, Randy's going to have to just lay on him for three rounds, which I don't think he can do. I think if Randy wins, I mean, he could obviously knock out Jack. Randy has big long arms, but yeah, it's probably by some kind of choke by a neck. Who was the second leg of the slime ball? Slime ball will be at the end of the show. So I've given two out. I'll send a graphic. I'll post it on Instagram and Twitter afterwards. So stick around to the end. Anthony Horn, Rude Boy went for chaos. He knows how to handle a guy with bricks for hands. It'll be a fun fight. Might be some value in Randy, but sub, he's got some skills on there. Got to go, boys. Keep up the hard work. Thank you, David Jackson, for watching. You're the best, man. Brown by sub was a crazy number. Yeah, we already read that, James Smith. Anthony Horn, I do. Alex Savoy, long shot, Randy by submission, 1,200 DraftKings. Jack does. Woo! That is gorgeous, Alex Savoy. I love him, but that is gorgeous. Brown sub is 1,200. Woo! Anytime you get a plus 1,200, you know, I get a little swelled up in certain areas. You know what I mean? I get a little swelled up. 1,200 is a gorgeous line. All right, co-main event. Christian, we talked about this before the show. He is not excited about this fight. He said this is a fight night fight, blah, 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 blah. Whatever the fuck he said. I'm extremely excited for this fight. Yaya Rodriguez, minus 165 versus Josh Emmett, plus 140. Line is moving a little bit. I believe in the direction of, you can correct me, Yair Rodriguez. I believe he's maybe 170-ish now. Love this fight. Love this fight. Christian, I'll let you break it down first. I think it's your turn anyway. But I really, truly love this fight. And shout out Volkanovski for going, you know what, boys? No one can fuck with me at 45. So I'm going to hop up, throw an interim title on it, and let me come back down and fight the winner. Because so many champions don't do that, right? Guys who are out for 15 months with some major surgery go, no, what are you doing? Interim title, that's bullshit. No, you've been out for a while. We got to keep it moving. So shout out Volkanovski having that self-awareness doing that. All right. Woo, here we go. Floor is yours, Christian.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Floor is yours. Yeah, I should have known that. Let's see. So, yeah, when I say I'm not excited about it, this is a fight night main card because interim titles are fraudulent. They're not real titles. Like, is Justin Gaethje a past champion?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I guess so. These are titles.
You know, there's that argument. We don't have enough time. You know, like, I mean, yeah, there are some arguments to be made for that. And I think depending on situation and stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, I get it. I get your side of it.
But the fight itself is really good. These are both action fighters. Most rarely in a boring fight. I'm trying to remember the last time either of them were. And it's mm-hmm. nothing's coming to mind.
That happened.
Look, the thing about, I think Emmett would honestly need to wrestle to win this fight. We all know how fucked his knee is. There's talk out there about his hip being broken or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
None of these things are good for wrestling. I mean, he's 38 years old now, or almost 38. These are not good things in these lower weight classes. He's got a game-changing power. I'm surprised some of his last fights haven't finished because when he hits people, it sounds so loud and it mm-hmm. looks so hard, and you can see that they don't like it. These injuries and some of the time he's missed, these are, you know, you're not getting much better at 37, 38 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I know because
that's all you are.
Even younger than I am.
Well, yeah. So, You've been there. You've seen 37.
Yeah, I've been there.
Yeah.
So, and as for Yair, I don't know why he fights so little.
Mm-hmm.
He was running from USADA for a while, I believe. He's looking proved though.
He was running from Zabit for a while and then retired and he's like, fuck it. Yeah, let's go.
I have to look at his Tapology and see how many times that one was booked and canceled. So, yeah, the age difference is huge for me here. It's not something I feel like Yanni the Greek when I look too much at it, but in these younger weight classes, it seems to be a pretty easy way to cap a fight. Yair seems to be looking better. I think he's faster. Obviously, Emmett is very athletic. He moves quick. I still think Yair's going to have that speed there. I guess he's going to be the better grappler if it gets there. And Emmett doesn't wrestle. So if it does get to those grappling sequences, we saw Yair yank out Ortega's arm or it just fall out. Who knows? But I'm going with the younger, fresher fighter who's still on the rise. I wish he fought more, but he has looked really good. He won a couple rounds, I thought, or maybe one round against Max Holloway, which I think Max Holloway would have no problem taking 3 to 5 rounds off of Emmett either.
Sure.
So, yeah, give me Yair. I'm rooting for Emmett. It's kind of, that's like another fight where it's like I'm rooting for somebody else, but I think Yair is probably going to take this one. But I want to hear your take on Emmett because I want to know how you got there.
So, yeah, I like Emmett. Emmett's one of those guys, like, he was, when he came to UFC, he won one, lost one, and they're like, ah, he's just another Faber guy. Just another wrestler built like all those guys from Team Alpha Male. Then he start knocking people out. Then he start dropping everyone he fought. Then he start making waves, right? After the Jeremy Stephens horrible knockout where he broke his whole face, he start making waves and start getting some noise. He's kind of like a plain white tee, right? He's kind of just like paint drying. He's not the most exciting guy. Then you got Yair coming off the Ultimate Fighter and they push him right away. Viva La Mexico. They want Mexico. It was a bubble at the time. It is now exploding with some really good talent. You know, Brandon Moreno, first champion, Alexa Grasso fighting for the title. Yair, there's a bunch of other guys coming up. They pushed him hard and he won a lot of his early challenges and then runs into Frankie Edgar. And they said, oh, wait, this guy has no ground game. He gets butchered on the ground, right? Then he runs into some weird contract issues and didn't want to fight. They try to book him with Sabib, whatever the fuck happens. But the inconsistency on both these guys, because if Josh Emmett fights, he gets hurt, he's out 9 months. Every time he fights, he blows something out, he's out 9 months, right? Yeah, years fighting, a little inconsistency, but when he comes back and when he does fight, he just looks so much improved. He is so fucking fast. And I always knew his kicks were fast. They're very fast and powerful. His hands are lightning fast. He does some special things in there with his movement. He frustrates guys. And if Josh Emmett, the chat is blowing up about the hip injury. If Josh Emmett does have a hip injury, wrestling's out the window. That's the only way he wins this fight is if he wrestles you a year for 5 rounds. Don't know if that's going to happen, right? Don't see that ever happening, even with a healthy hip. I think Yair can get to his feet pretty good. I think Yair's more athletic. I think Josh Emmett only has power. I think Josh Emmett lost the fight to Calvin Kattar, right? I think Josh Emmett's in these really close fights, and when he meets the high-level guys, he doesn't knock them out, right? He hasn't had a knockout since 2019 when he's 34 years old. He's 37 now, right? Hasn't had a knockout in a little bit. And Yair's a guy who is so fast, will hit you, doesn't have the best defense in the world, so there is obviously a world where Josh Emmett can clip him with a big right hand and be over. Yair's got a minus P's and Q's, but I think Yair is fucking better everywhere. I think he's better everywhere. That's on the ground. That's everywhere. I don't care what Brian Ortega said. Yair had his fucking arm, popped his shoulder out. That counts as a sub. I know it was an injury, whatever. Yair's getting better, getting more confident. He's only 30 years old. His whole camp is focused around him. He doesn't split time with a trainer with Billy down the street. You know what I mean? This is a guy, whole camp, whole life revolving around him. He's going to come out here and he's going to absolutely look like a madman, a mission. And he's going to get a finish. I think he's going to finish Josh Emmett late in the fight. I think he's going to knock him out with a head kick late in the fight. So give me Yair Rodriguez. What do you mean? Yeah. What?
Oh, you want to check the tapes? I believe I have a text of you replying to me betting Yair and being like, I'm not on the other side of that.
I don't think so.
All right. Well, you're doing your breakdown of the main event.
Check the receipts. I'm allowed changing my mind. There's no way, because, dude, I'm always opposite Emmett. I fucking loaded up on Shane Burgos when he fought Emmett.
We'll check the tapes.
Check the tapes. I'll check the fucking the chat here. Emmett got lucky even split with Kattar. I agree, Skynet. Heart is for Josh. Money is on year. Hedging for Josh finish. Holloway versus Allen's more implication in the future of the featherweight division. I kind of agree with that. If Allen wins, I don't think Holloway's getting a shot at 145 anytime soon if he wins. Love that fight, though. Yair has to be lock of the week. He might be. Line is good. He is fast, very fast. Emmett is coming in with a major hip injury. He confirmed he's getting surgery regardless of this fight's outcome. Interesting. Heard a lot of talk about Emmett's hip this week. Tough to fight Yair. Even 100% healthy. Couldn't agree more. Tatum Temple. Emmett has some triple terrible tattoos. Just saying. His tattoos aren't great. His skin is see-through, and he rocks a lot of that green tattoo. Don't love it. But hell of a right hand. Does have a good right hand. I had Cater last leg of a plus 500 parlay in the Emmett Cater Fighters Traumatic. I hope Yair smokes him. I've been on several ends of those parlays, John, and it hurts my soul. I had Cater. He won. I had Cater as well. I thought Cater landed the more significant shots, and Emmett landed the harder shots. What are you going to do? Have you found those receipts yet?
You know, how do you put when you find the picture in the group chat, can you go and look at it? Like go straight to where it is in the chat?
I don't know. Probably. You can search by.
I'll just scroll back. It's only the 14th picture back.
You
which
can,
for us doesn't.
You can search.
Great radio right here. So
dead
basically
air.
What we're talking about, I sent a
dead air
parlay about 2 or 3 weeks ago to Brian, and it was Randy Brown, Jiyoung Kim, and Yair Rodriguez. And I said, I was like, tell me how this loses. And he goes, I'm on the opposite side of both of you on those, except for the chick fight. I don't care about that one.
Hang on. I got it right here.
Okay.
You said, I quote, I really like Emmett, and you just picked Yair. I said, Jiyoung Kim, I have a really no opinion on. That fight stinks, but Jackie G is going to roll Brown, and I lean Emmett. And that was what I said. I can't tell the date on this fucking thing, but it was a while ago. And now I've done my study and I don't lean Emmett. You said all you right. liked Emmett too, and you picked Yair.
Yeah, but I put my money where my mouth was.
I'm putting my money where my mouth is too. And just you fucking wait here, Paolo. All right, here we go. Main event. Islam minus 365 versus Alexander Volkanovski plus 300. What a fucking main event here. Goddamn, I've been going through this a million different ways in my head. I love this fight. I am not a guy that's really a proponent of champions moving up and this and that. You know, I thought maybe it was a little too soon. I mean, Islam just won the fucking title. So there's a lot of things like that. But this makes sense because Volk has no one to fight. Islam's already beat everyone on the up and coming at 55 just to get the Oliveira. Sure, he can rematch Oliveira again, whatever. But, you know, this makes sense. And it's interesting because when Volkanovski talks, I listen. Everything he's ever said, he's done, right? I've faded Volkanovski. I've been on the opposite side of him multiple times. I'm done fading him. I'm done doubting him, right? I picked Max both times. I think I even picked Brian Ortega against him. Like, I've been on the opposite side. This grown man, is legit. He's the real deal. Stand-up's great. His footwork's great. And when he says, this guy's taking me down, I'll get back up. I believe him. It's a weird thing. I believe him, you know? And Islam is so confident and kind of arrogant to the point where he's like, this guy too small, right? He's too small. I can take him down. And then Islam's talking this week that he's going to stand up with him, which is crazy, right? He goes, this guy's too small. I'm going to stand up with him, show him what 55 power is, which is insane to me if he wants to do that because Volkanovski is going to have a tremendous speed advantage. People really overhype Islam's stand-up. I think it's better than Khabib's, but I don't think it's great, right? I think it's very, very basic. I think it is as basic as it comes. He's got an okay hook. That's what he caught Oliveira with. That's what he caught. He caught T-Bow with the straight, but T-Bow was cooked at that point. You know, he's a big guy, doesn't have big power, but I think it's basic. I think if this is a stand-up fight, Volkanovski wins every second of the fight. It's not going to be. Islam knows that he needs to get this fight to the ground. And I watched Volkanovski fights. Darren Elkins took him down, got right back to his feet. Chad Mendes took him down a few times, got right back to his feet. This is a different kind of animal. But when you look at Volkanovski, and this is a guy who, like I said, he says it and it comes true. This is a fight he wants. Not many people are knocking down the door wanting to fight Islam Makhachev, right? Tough matchup, tough stylistically. Alex wants his fight. And it's just when you have the number one pound for pound fighter in the world, Alex Volkanovski. I know he's fighting number two. But you're hanging a plus 300 on him. I mean, I got the shirt on. I got to take the shot. I truly don't know what's going to happen. I think Alexander Volkanovski early in this week by decision was plus 600, which I think is amazing. But if Alexander Volkanovski can get up from Islam takedowns and not get smothered, not get submitted, he's going to have a good night. And it's going to be a fun fight. But it's easier said than done. Not many people have been able to do that against a Dagestanian, especially as good as Islam. So We'll see. So I'm rocking with Alexander Volkanovski plus 300. I already have a bet in. Two baby bets, maybe a third coming. So that's it. That's the story on that. So Christian, take Islam, throw your chalk in the air, and we'll get out of here.
All right. Sounds good. Done.
Are you taking Islam for real? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm taking Islam.
All right.
Look, this is the fight to make. I hate these cross weight matchups, like, you know, people fighting out of their division, but this one fits perfectly. Like, there's plenty of people. Well, I guess there's really not plenty of people for either of them to fight because I don't want to see that. I don't like rematches, so I don't want to see the Charles Oliveira rematches yet. There's not really anybody at 155 that's there right now. And it won't, like you said it perfectly. This is, I mean, I love it. I love this fight.
Mm-hmm.
These are two of the best fighters on the planet right here. The size difference, you know, you can just read the measurables. It's like, oh, Volk's got a longer reach. Well, it doesn't matter because no matter what Islam said, I don't think he's going to stand there and throw with Volk too often. It's not, they're not even close on the feet, just like they're not even close on the ground.
Right.
We've seen Islam's finishes. He used to not finish people. He used to take forever to finish them. Like, took almost the whole fight to get Dober.
Mm-hmm.
Took a while to get Thiago Moises out of there, but see how good Thiago Moises has been looking recently. That's no slouch.
Right.
So I think sometimes we think when you have two great fighters, you're like, oh, well, this person could do that. This person, and you think of all these options. When all you need to think about is the most realistic, what is actually going to happen? And there's only one thing here. Islam is going to steamroll him. He's going to take him down and smother him. Mm-hmm. It's like, if Volk will try to get up, he might get up a couple times. I know he's got elite cardio, but this is what happens when you run into these Dagestani dudes in their prime.
Mm-hmm.
They will smash you. Like,
smash, brother.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy, brother.
Yeah, it's smash. I smash. Yeah, Islam smashes here. I hope it's closer almost, but because it's going to be in my parlays, I don't want it to be too close. I am surprised the amount of love I'm seeing on Volk.
Yeah.
It makes me scared because the people that are picking him are people I respect.
So mine, if I'm being gunned to my head, I'm Islam. Gun to my head. I mean, I don't want to die. Islam is the bigger guy, stronger guy, whatever. But when you give me a plus 300, I got to play numbers at some point. You're right. This is a number play. I think it's going to be interesting, though. I really do. I'm really curious to see because Volk doesn't quit. Tatum Temple is making some fucking claims here. I want the upset to happen, but Volk is going to get sub faster than Charles.
Yeah.
Shoot, Volkanovski nearly got subbed twice by 5'769 Brian Ortega. If Islam gets Volk in the same position Ortega had him, it's over. I mean, these are some fucking theories, right? So those are good takes. They're not bad takes. I think it's a little different because I think Islam doesn't have a guillotine or a triangle. Those were what Volk got caught in. Islam is rear naked choke, arm triangle. Those are what you got to watch out for. I'm sure he's got an arm bar. I'm sure he's got other things as well. He's got a Kimura. That's what he got Dan Hooker with. But, you know, the one thing that keeps getting brought up, Kenny Florian and I, you ever heard of him? Name drop. We've talked about off air is Volkanovski's got that low center of gravity. So it's going to be a little different from Islam to kind of get on his legs. It's going to be more of a body lock situation. So it's going to be interesting to see what kind of approach he takes. He's going to have to strike to go in. And it's not like Volkanovski's got one punch knockout power. Doesn't have that at 45. Definitely he's not going to have that at 55. But he's going to have to take some shots to get in, I think. But the one thing I will say, I pick against Dagestani fighters a lot. Someone called me out on the comments on DraftKings. I will say this. What I'm so fucking thoroughly impressed with the Dagestani group is how fucking loyal they are. Imagine how much money would be offered for Khabib versus Islam. Like, they're in the same weight class. They're trained by Khabib's dad. And it's like, there's no ego between them. Islam could come out and be like, I'm the best in the world. I'm better than Khabib. And Khabib would be like, I agree with you. They would probably throw so much money at them to fight, and they won't do it. Us Americans, if they gave me $200 to fly to Colorado to fight you, Christian, I'd do it in your front yard, man. I have no loyalty. Pay me. But these Dagestanian fighters, man, I watched the Nelk boys, which I'm not a fan of, but they had a video where they went to Dagestan to Islam's training camp at like a base of a mountain. They look really cool. And then they met up with Hasbulla. And the loyalty these guys have, it's really impressive. You don't see that much in any sport. Anytime you see two teammates training together in the same weight class, they're eventually going to fight, you know? Or you got Aljo and Marab, and Aljo's like, I'm going to 45. Fuck it, right? But you look at all the weight classes, the history of MMA, there's always been some kind of beef with teammates, and it's very impressive that Dagestani fighters do not have that. All right, so that's it. Go ahead.
Yep. What's the over-under on your boy, Anik, saying Volkanovski and rugby 2.5 times?
2.5 times. Yeah, I'll take the over on that. Yeah. Okay. I mean, it's just because they're good at, because they showed it during the countdown, him playing rugby and the whole idea. He's been in there with bigger guys before. So, yeah, over 2.5 for sure. All right. So, it's the lock portion. Got to give out locks. Then I'm going to give out the sign ball parlay. All right. Christian, do you want to go first? Do you want me to go first? Because I can fire off a mortal lock in your face right now that will make your fucking head spin.
You could go first because I think I got last.
Great. Okay. Guess what? Mortal lock. Yeah, you're Rodriguez, bitch. Woo! And he's a slime ball candidate, motherfucker. Oh, yeah. Brian picked Emmett. Nah. Yeah. Put my money where my mouth is now.
Yeah. That lean towards Emmett was pretty weak.
That lean was a weak lean, man. It's a Michael Jackson lean. I leaned back the other way. Let's go. Mortal lock. Here's your mortal lock, Christian.
All right. Mine's a lot sexier because it's earlier on the card, but I am for sure going to parlay these two together.
Okay.
Loma Lukbumi.
Yeah. That's your mortal lock. Yep. I figured that was going to be your mortal lock. All right, Christian, now you get to pick. You get send him home or dog. Who do you like, babe?
Let's see. Give me old cement head on the send him. It's won for me before. Why won't it win for me again?
Send him home, cement head. My send him home is going to be Tyson Pedro. Again, that was a fight I was on the fence with, like I was with the Emmy. And then I really dove deep down. I just think if he has cardio, man, this Tyson Pedro is really good. And Bukauskas has been finished before. And Pedro's a big, big boy that can do it on the mat and on the feet. So that's what send him home. Dog lock. I go first here. Dog lock. It's a baby dog. It's a puppy.
Hello? Okay, this is dog.
Blake Builder, dog lock. I think it's going to be good. Blake Builder by decision is what I would go with. Now, just go money line because I see him. He could get a submission late in the fight because he does have a good rear naked choke. But that is my dog lock, Blake Builder. And then Christian, dog lock here, bud. You don't have many of them, kiddo.
I got Root Boy, Porter, and I think I'll have one more, right?
I think this is the only two. Oh, no, you got Bukauskas. You got Bukauskas. Yeah.
I want to take Rude Boy, but it's going to be tough to beat you this week because we don't have a ton of dogs. So just give me the chalkiest one at Parker Porter.
The steakhouse. You're taking the steakhouse at dog money. I love it. All right. So recap real quick for everyone listening, everyone watching, everyone doing whatever. My mortal lock is Yair Rodriguez. I think he's going to steamroll. Christian's mortal lock is Loma Lukbumi. My send him home, and if you're first time watching, send him home is a fight that I think this fighter is going to finish. Knockout, KO, submission, whatever, cut, mom comes in the cage, stops the fight, whatever. However it needs to be done, that's what I'm picking. Mine is Tyson Pedro. Christian's is Jamie Malachi over Francisco Prado, which I like that. I like that pick.
That's +160.
Yeah, I might play that. That's a nice number. And then our dog locks. Christian's got the steakhouse, Parker Porter. I got Blake Builder, and they both are baby dogs. I almost thought I took Volkanovski, but again, that's just a number play. I can't give you a lock on a number play. So that is what it is. All right, here you go. Slime ball parlay for the degenerates out there. It's going to be on your screen in 3, 2, 1, shaboink. There it is. So we got Loma Lukbumi, Yair Rodriguez, and Jackie Three Names, also known as Jack Della Maddalena, +180. That's gorgeous. That is Christian's mortal lock, my mortal lock, and Jackie Three Names. And if you want to get a little crazy, if you want to get a little extra, huh? Yeah, Tyson Pedro to that mix. You get +296. You almost get 3-1. Almost 3-1 with Tyson Pedro. I don't know how that fucking loses, but that's just for the supersize. Right now, Loma Lukbumi, Yair Rodriguez, Jackie Three Names, +180. Thank me later. Let's fucking go. Woo! That's it. That's the show. We nailed it. Miss Timbo. Hopefully Timbo is washing blood off his hands right now, and we'll see him next time we do it. Next pay-per-view is John Jones.
Wow.
Johnny Jones, March 4th, at the end of this month. Well, I mean, February is like a half a month, basically. But yeah, so big, big, big stuff. Thank you, Christian. You're the best, man.
Yep.
You have fun?
Yeah. Oh,
you miss
I love it?
You miss it?
I always miss it. I was trying to get on one like 2 weeks ago.
I know. It's just with everything going on with my mom. By the way, I saw some comments about mom. She's doing great. Her final chemo was today. Final radiation, I believe, is Monday. And then I think they got to wait like a month and then they x-ray or scan her again. And then she does immunotherapy, but she's doing great. Little side effects, legs all swollen, hair's kind of losing a little bit, but, she's a fucking badass. I mean, she's the best. I FaceTime her. I see her. What the problem was when I got sick, I couldn't see her for like a week. Her immune system is compromised. So, I couldn't see her for a week, which absolutely was the worst. Cause you know, I've been with her kind of through this whole thing, but anyway, thank you for all the well wishes. That's it. That's the show. That was fun, man. Ready to win some money this weekend?
Fuck yeah, let's do it.
All right, let's go. I'll see you. Thank you. Thank you, chat. Yeah. I'll see you.
Let's make some picks with our man, Brian Patrick. Motherfuckers. Perfect week for Brian Patrick yet again.